Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
There is something in all of us, in every human heart, that longs for restoration. And to know that restoration with God and with our fellow man is possible. You know, we read and hear of characters all the time, some real, some fictional, who have overcome great hurdles in their life, great obstacles, and been victorious in every circumstance. I think of a man who was raised in a public housing unit in Detroit by a single mother. I think about that young man and as he grew up in those circumstances. His name was Carson. He became one of our great neurosurgeons. But his brother, you may not have heard about, his brother became an astrophysicist. He is literally a rocket scientist. So when somebody says to you, you don't have to be a neurosurgeon or a rocket scientist to know thus and such, you don't. But you have to have what they both had. You have to have the sense of who God created you to be within your heart. Sometimes, as been referred to this morning in song and we think we're just too weak. You know, that overcoming thing is for other people. We're too weak for that. Normal people are. We can't overcome these kinds of things. But that is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Don't let that come out of your mouth. Do not allow any time, anywhere, any circumstance to conquer you. You are unconquerable by Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors. What happened to the overcoming church? You know, the church we read about, the church we know about, the church triumphant. What happened to that church? Did we as members of the church run into the battle or away from it? Did we become heroes or cowards? Too often, we deny the power that is within us by being cowards. Our Lord did not ask you to be a coward. He did not ask you to run away from the cross. He told you to pick one up. He didn't tell you to run from danger. He told you to run into it with the power and might of God Almighty. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to say to the mountains in our life, the circumstances that come against us, the cancer, the heart disease, the old age, whatever it is, be cast out and cast into the sea. Why don't we take that power that we already have and utilize it? Are we just too lazy? We just will not apply ourselves to the task? I don't know. But this I know, we are no longer the church triumphant in America. There are too many wishy-washy people who shouldn't even be standing in a pulpit. We have allowed the watering down of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are to be heroes of the faith. That's what the Bible calls us to be. Not to be people who lay down, but to be people who stand up for Christ. We are to be the creators of good things, not of evil. The attitude of fearless overcomers makes each of us soldiers of the cross. We are intended to be just that. It tells us all through the Scripture that we're to arm ourselves with the armor of God, that we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness, that we're not to go out slaying people, we're to turn the other cheek. We're to stand and continue to stand no matter what happens, because we stand on the rock, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Today we're going to talk about the most incredible gift that God has given to the church, given to you, given to me, given to each of us sitting here, and all the people who are not here today. He has given us the power to do the things we ought to do. Let us go before Him now in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You. May everything You want for us be done today. Holy Spirit, we do invite You here. It's not just words from a song. We invite You into this place. You're here. Wherever two or three of us are gathered in Your name, we are here in the midst of the Holy Spirit's being. We testify to His presence in this place. We ask You to do what only You can do. To touch us with Your words and heal us with those words, to inspire us with those words, to strengthen us with those words. Yours are the words of life and death. My words are words that are silly. They're nothing. They are words of a man that mean absolutely nothing. But Your words are words that will never fail. Your word goes on through circumstance, from one generation to another, from one century to another. We are living by Your word. Your word has life in it, and life eternal. Share that with us. Today I pray for these things we ask in the name that You have given to us, which is above every other name in the world, every other name in heaven. It is above all other names. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Open with me to the book of Acts. I'm going to read a few passages here. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they all began to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" And others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judah, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, that this be known to you, and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant, men servants, and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of our Lord shall be saved. In our text, we see the wonderful, marvelous, incredible restoration of Peter. How he had been filled with fear. This is the man who was denying that the one who called him the rock, that he even knew him. He abandoned Jesus in his time of need, in his hour of need. He denied him three times. This same Peter, who led the other disciples, who was the big fisherman, whom God had now restored. What happened? How did the Holy Spirit show up? He did so unexpectedly. The word spirit in many languages means wind. No one can see the wind. You can see what happens when the wind comes through. Sometimes it shakes the leaves, sometimes the branches, sometimes the branches fall off. Sometimes the breeze comes like a gentle kiss that you have forgotten long ago. Sometimes it comes in various ways into your heart. But when the Holy Spirit shows up, in this occasion as a mighty wind, jaws open, eyes get bigger, our minds are amazed and confused because God has shown up. Sometimes we do not talk about the Holy Spirit as though he were a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is God. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when that wind comes, it's mighty. It's like a train, people have said. And it comes and it lifts cars up and crashes houses down. Birds don't fly. They sit out the wind. And yet, sometimes it comes in a different way. But when the Holy Spirit comes and anoints you, when He anoints you, you breathe in God and you exhale His words. You hear from God and you recite what God is saying to you. That is what happens in our scripture. The Holy Spirit shows up and surprises everyone. On this occasion, He came as a mighty wind. And the people were confused. It says so in the text. It says that the whole house was filled. I believe that the house of David was filled with the entrance of the Holy Spirit trying to get into each heart there, just as He is trying to get in each heart under my voice today, just as He is trying to get in each heart in the world today. He stands at the door and knocks. If any man open, he will come in. The Holy Spirit of God is never going to leave you alone. He is going to come after you like the hound of heaven. He is going to come after you. And that is what this happens in this occasion when we have read, that the Scripture tells us that the whole house was filled. That is why the Jews dwelling in Jerusalem were moved toward the mighty wind that they heard. They didn't come to hear the Galileans. I've been in the room. The room is about this size. The upper room, which was built by the Crusaders over the place where they think the upper room actually was. And it's wonderfully acoustically. You can sing in there and you can, it's wonderful. It's like being in a great huge shower. Everybody sounds good. Even I sounded good. And you sense that that's not where they came. They came to the sound of the mighty rushing wind. And each man heard then the proclamation of the mighty works of God in their language in which they were born. And they came from all over the world. They came from Egypt and they came from everywhere. Everywhere in the known world where Jews were, they came. They came to this place to experience God. There is a film that I have shown from time to time. Perhaps some of you have not seen it. But it is a modern day equivalent of the Holy Spirit coming as a mighty wind. He comes in and he is recorded on devices that they didn't realize were recording him. But the mighty wind comes in and it touches the congregation in Canada, these Indian people. And they begin to worship God, just as they did here. Because they were amazed that this happened. They could not believe that it happened. But it did happen. It happens all the time. Whenever the Holy Spirit comes in and transforms us, that is what is taking place. And these people ask, well, who are these guys? How can they know our language? Aren't these Galileans? Who are we to speak the words of God? How did we inhale God and exhale His words? How did that come about? Why is that happening? Who are these guys? I mean, they're not scholars. They're not what we anticipated. They're not rabbis who have learned all kinds of languages and words and blah, 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 blah. They don't have post-hole digger behind their names. PhD. That's what that PhD stands for, post-hole digger. They don't have any of that. What they have is the Holy Spirit of God. And that is so powerful that people listen to it, and they hear it, and they're amazed. They're amazed that these people, these normal, everyday people, these fishermen, can speak languages they've never heard before, that they are speaking, excelling the words of God. Now, these same people didn't recognize God when He walked in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with them, into the very temple. As a matter of fact, they crucified Him. Now they do not recognize the power or the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And so they turn not to God. They don't pray, "Oh God, illuminate this for us. How can this be?" They say instead, "Oh, let us try to figure it out. Let our human intellect try to do it. Let's turn to one of our own." And someone mockingly said, "Well, they're full of new wine." These are just drunkards. That's the reason they're talking in these languages in which you were born. El Salvadorian and English and Spanish, Egyptian, Swahili. They're speaking in all the languages. And they're doing it under the influence of new wine. That is the reason that the people were willing to disregard what they heard. How many times have we heard someone say, well, that's just that hellfire and brimstone preacher. You got to take it with a grain of salt or a salt mine. Before you do that, before you water down the word, be very sure that God was not involved. Because that's what these people did. They chose to say that the experiment that they were a part of, the experience that they were a part of, was nothing. It was nothing. It was just new wine that they were preaching under. When it was the wine of the Holy Spirit of God. When Peter responds, the whole group of apostles stand in agreement, it says here. He says that Peter stood up and the whole of the apostles stood with him. These are men who ran from fear. These are men who were fearless now. What happened? They inhaled God. And they exhaled the words of God. How did that happen? How did Peter, who was called the rock by Jesus, Petra, on this little stone I shall build my church, who felt like, not like a rock, he felt like dust. He felt like he had been crushed underfoot. He had denied Jesus 3 times in the very hour that Jesus needed him to stand up for him. Now, he stands up. All the disciples who had run stand up. They were all in locked, you remember, doors when Jesus arose. And, you know, people say, well, Peter became this way, a new creature in Christ Jesus, when he saw the empty tomb. I don't believe that for a moment. Because I have been in the empty tomb. There have been lots of people in the empty tomb. It doesn't mean that they have become a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a Cadillac. You simply do not get there that way. The Holy Spirit comes into you, not the other way around. So Peter how did he feel about himself? He felt like he was dust. But now he's standing up. He's a man. He's bold. He's going to say to these thousands of Jewish people the things they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. God walked in your midst. You killed him. God raised him. We've seen him. Now say you're sorry. Repent. That's what he was about to say to them. He was trying to do the very best he could as a new creature. He was, at the moment the Holy Spirit came into him, a new creature. And that new creature was like the Holy Spirit of God. It pointed toward Jesus. This one, this Jesus, who you have condemned, we have seen that God has raised him. We stand as witnesses. We tell you to repent. That is the word of God that every church should embrace. We shouldn't be wallowing around in political correctness. We should tell people exactly what the Holy Spirit tells us to say. That creature standing up was worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That's what happens. When you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, you become unrecognizable to other people who don't know Christ. I understand that. You know, we're going to have baptisms next Sunday, and the baptisms don't do anything in and of themselves unless the Holy Spirit has indwelled you to begin with. Baptisms aren't any. The Holy Spirit's baptism, its saturation of your heart, is what makes the difference. A new creature is obedient to the Father. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command?" You become obedient. When the Holy Spirit has hold of you, you follow the Holy Spirit wherever He takes you. If He takes you into circumstances you don't like, you go there. If He takes you into circumstances you feel a little discomfort in, you go, because you place your trust in Jesus Christ, whom the Holy Spirit points to. I wonder if you're standing up for Christ today. Are you? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Are you saturated with His love? If you are, act like it. Don't be afraid. Cast fear out. It's just another mountain that separates you from the love of God. Cast it out. If you have doubt, cast it out. Whatever is obstructing you from being everything God wants you to be, cast it out. You have the power within you if the Holy Spirit has come within you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things. There isn't a thing you cannot do with Christ in your heart. Don't run away from the battle. Run towards it. If you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, then breathe in the breath of God and exhale His words in your life and through your life, and do the things that Christ called you to do. You know, we sometimes hear about the Ten Commandments. You know how many commandments that Jesus gives? I counted them one time. There are 120 commands of Jesus. Be filled with the Spirit is one of them. Be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to testify words of God's holiness, of God's righteousness, of God's mercy, and of God's grace, and of God's forgiveness, and most of all, of God's love. Because He loved us, even when we were yet His enemies. He loved us. Each and every one of us should know that God has sent the Holy Spirit to knock on the door of everyone's heart. He promises that if you will open that door, He will walk in. He will come into your life. He will empower you to do the things He created you to be. Now, that doesn't mean that you will be a nuclear scientist. You'll be an astrophysicist. It doesn't mean that you'll be the great Ben Carson. It doesn't mean that you will have a neurosurgeon's credentials. But it does mean that when you are lost and lonely and you fear that you do not have strength in your body to carry on, God will provide the strength. He provides every good and perfect thing you have in your life. That's what it means. It means that you have fellowship with God and He with you. When He said He would never leave you or forsake you, I believe that He was talking about the Holy Spirit within you. He will never remove it, no matter how you try. And trust me, I tried. When I was an actor, I did things that I suddenly realized afterwards that God had gone with me into every one of those situations. When I honked the horn at somebody, I realized that God was there with me when I honked the horn. Every single solitary time we veer away from God, we veer toward the dead. God's grace is such that He invites even me, you and me, into the fellowship with Him and the Father and the Holy Spirit.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.